The following is a Fourth Hand production.
Elijah, are you ready to bring on the weird?
Oh, you know it, man. How about you?
Oh, yeah. Do everything we can to make this the final Jonestown. I'm done. Jonestown trilogy.
You might have to carry us at the end here, dude.
Oh, I got it, baby. Listen to audiobooks. 3 audiobooks. And I listened to one of them like 1.5 times because the first time I listened to it, something messed up and I jumped in like the last half of it. That's where I started. No idea what was going on. Huh. That was a Seductive Poison, the Debbie Layton.
Oh, right.
Blakey. And I listened to 1,000 Lives and Road to Jonestown. Man, I'm ready to get out of this rabbit hole.
Yeah. I'm so fucking sick of it, dude. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable.
I know. The whole thing. Every bit of it.
It drives me to drink.
Well, speaking of which, where did you drive to drink tonight? No way. Hold up. I can see your cap. Is that a flying dog?
It sure is, buddy.
No way.
Yes way. Oh, what'd not... Not the same one.
Okay.
This is a Irish coffee stout, and it's 6.6%. And it says, when Steve Olens pitched us the idea of an Irish coffee stout, he also taught us an old Irish blessing. May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be always at your back. Coffee is for closers. Let's go eat tacos. Indeed, Steve. Let's go eat tacos. Flying Dog makes some good beers, man.
Yep. I got one, too.
You do?
Yep. Mayan is the truth. It's an Imperial IPA. This one is 8.7.
Whoa.
Yeah, you can... That's when you get that the levels of actually tasting the alcohol in it. On the side, it says, full disclosure. This beer came to fruition because we saw a gap in our portfolio and we wanted to increase our market share.
Hey. I mean, they're straight up about it, right?
Truth.
How is it?
It's a... You can definitely tell there's alcohol in it.
Oh. As long as it's not intolerable.
It's not intolerable.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when we last left our intrepid congregation, they had all moved to Ukiah.
Yep. I'm just trying to get back to it in my notes here.
And I think we ended somewhere around...
Like 1970 when they got to Redwood Valley, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I found it.
And I think that was
Oh, my God. I got a thunderstorm going on, and it's definitely going to come up in my audio, man. Just the...
Sweet. That's what we need. Because there's a nice storm at the very end of the story.
Ooh.
Things may have turned out just slightly different had it not been for that storm.
Wow. Look at you.
Yeah.
Bringing it around, dude.
It's going to work. Everything's going to work out. So 1970, Ukiah, Community Unity, right? That's what it was called?
No, that wasn't Community Unity. Was it?
Was that in Indianapolis? Were they the People's Temple yet? In Redwood Valley?
No.
People with peoples without an apostrophe. And it didn't belong to the people. It was just multiple peoples in the temple. It messes me up every time. It just breaks my brain thinking about it. Like, it didn't belong to them.
It was called...
He didn't want it to be like that.
Right. It was called the ranch where they went in Redwood Valley. Mm. I had to go back and find it.
That's why my kid's, like, dumping that on ketchup now. Because it's a socialist or something. I don't know.
They put ranch on ketchup?
No.
Oh.
Fries.
Oh,
okay. I did say ketchup.
Yeah. I was like, what in the fuck kind of mixture is that?
You can buy it now like that. See, Heinz has the Cranch.
I haven't seen the Cranch. I've seen the...
Mayo chip.
Mayo chop. And there's one with mustard in it, too.
No, dude. I want to mix it on my food, if I'm going to mix it.
Is it mayo stirred? I have no clue.
Mayo stirred.
Ketchup and mayo mixed together is really good.
It's fine. I don't do it on purpose. If I'm having a burger, it's either going to be ketchup and mustard or mayonnaise. Not all of them.
Usually my burger is ketchup and mayo, or I'll go just straight mustard.
So mustard is the odd one out.
Yeah, where yours is mayo.
Yeah. I don't want to make mayo with anything else. Unless I don't have a choice at a restaurant. I mean, I guess I have a choice, but I'm just like, yeah, however you do it. I'm not picky. Anyway, welcome to the temple.
I think it was people's temple, dude.
Okay.
At this time, because... My notes say by 73, there were 2,500, almost 2,600 member of People's Temple all over the U.S. So it must have been, if it wasn't People's Temple, it was pretty damn close, and we'll just go with it and...
Okay.
Yeah.
Works for me. If anybody wants to dig down the hole that we went down, you can go to audibletrial.com/greenontheweird. And listen to 1,000 Lives. And I'm trying to see who that's by now. Shears. Julia Shears. S-C-H-E-E-R-E-S. Julia Shears. And that one is a pretty personal account of a lot of the people. Because they kept journals. And she was able to dig. She dug through all the like FBI files. There's thousands of files.
Wow.
Road to Jonestown was more of a just an account. It didn't dig into personal stuff too much. Some.
Right.
And then Road to Jonestown was by Jeff Gunn, or Gwynn, I guess. G-U-I-N-N. Jeff Gwynn.
Okay.
And then Deborah Layton's book is Seductive Poison, and that's strictly from her point of view, everything she went through getting to the People's Temple, meeting Jim Jones, and then ultimately going to Jonestown and escaping.
Wow, man. Yeah, that I still haven't read it. Listened to it, read it, whatever. But I really want to.
That one's very personal. It kind of drags out a little bit, but I mean, it's very, like, her point of view is so much. There's so much that happens with just that girl. It's insane. We're going to start in 1970, or you want to jump right into the Gang of Eight?
We can go Gang of Eight. Well, I guess before we do that, we should mention, once they got this church, they had armed guards that stood at the locked doors. And the only ones allowed to enter or leave had to get special permission. So I figure that'll be a good lead in to the Eight.
If all that starts happening around you, you might be in a cult. So the Gang of Eight, or the Eight Revolutionaries, was in 1973. I mean, if we're going to finish this thing up, we should probably do some jumping ahead. But I don't know if the Eight Revolutionaries that defected is what set Jim Jones off to do this other thing that I want to talk about for a minute.
Oh, I know.
Or if it happened before.
I know this.
Go ahead.
Changed his, it made him way more strict.
The catharsis meeting.
Yeah. It, well, because.
Was that before or was that after the Gang of Eight that he started doing those?
Oh, that was after. Because he said after. So, you know all the crazy shit he did to them, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, go into that. You got a lot on the Gang of Eight.
I got a good bit on it. So, they left. Jones loved these quote-unquote kids.
That was about 1973.
Because they were children of original Temple members. And they never told anything about their plan to escape, not even their own family, because they were like, you know what?
You froze.
My mom and dad, my brothers and sisters are going to try to convince me to not go. So they ended up, they escaped. I don't know how. I don't know if they were saying, oh, I'm going to school or what. But then they wrote a letter to Jones and explained why they left, which basically was the hypocrisy of the temple. And, you know, examples are like members were celibate. They were supposed to be celibate while higher members were having affairs, you know, sexual affairs. The church staff was predominantly white, all while Jones preached racial equality. So that's just to name a couple. That's the ones that I know of. And Jones was obviously pissed off about this. He's like,
yeah,
these mother... So he started to target them, sending them notes that look like ransom notes, you know, with the cutout letters from magazines.
He sent those to yeah. them?
And
that's
he
awesome.
Would,
kind of.
Well, I don't know who. I mean, he ordered it. I don't know if he was doing it. They're all over the notes. They rub poison oak all over the notes, so whoever got it would get poison oak. But the notes said, "We know where you live. We're watching you all the time. Keep your ass clean and your mouth clamped up."
Mm-hmm.
And they got, you know, numerous anonymous threatening phone calls. Obituaries were written in the papers with their names.
That's insane. It's so crazy how Jim Jones and his entourage of his inner circle,
his boys,
did all these things. Yeah. What did he end up calling them? The Diversion Committee.
Oh, really?
At one point.
Yeah, I didn't catch that. They also rented hearses and left them running outside of their homes.
How would you feel about that? There's just a hearse that just shows up in front of your house. It would freak me out.
Yeah, and it's just running. Like, not to mention, all you get a fucking note, and then you're all broke out in poison oak, you know?
Yeah.
You just got done wiping your ass with the note. Now you got poison oak, because it said keep your ass clean. He said, oh, yeah, I'll keep my ass clean. How about with this note, you motherfucker? Now you got poison oak on your beehole.
No.
Tell me you wouldn't do it. If you got a note from that motherfucker, tell me you wouldn't say, oh, yeah, keep my ass clean. I'll wipe my ass with this note. How about that? Then boom.
Yeah, I might.
Yeah.
But then,
maybe that was his plan. Keep your ass clean, because he knew they'd say, oh, yeah, fuck you. I'll wipe my ass with this. Then you got an itchy beehole.
Oh, you don't want that. Yeah. Hate when that happens.
That's basically all I have on it. I don't know if there was a lot to it, to be honest with you, but that's when things really took a dramatic turn in the temple.
At some point in here, after he moved to California, and that time period is when he decided, I may have said this in the last one, but that's when he decided he's just going to start cussing up a storm in his sermons.
Yeah, I think that was one of the last things we talked about.
He made the whole congregation chant fuck.
Yeah.
But after the Gang of Eight is when he started the catharsis meetings.
Yeah, well, it's because the kids didn't talk. So then he says, my love isn't working. I guess I'll have to start getting hard on people. They seem to respond to it better.
You might be in a cult.
Yeah. So before that, though, in order to reprimand somebody, it would just be a private meeting in his office, and he talked to him, and that was basically it. And then, like you said,
yeah,
catharsis.
Well, now he's starting the catharsis, and he's publicly humiliating people. He busted out the Board of Education, baby.
Yeah, well, first it was a belt, and then...
Was it just a belt?
Yeah, first it was a belt, and I guess people started to... They're like, you know, like, when your mom smacks your ass when you're a kid, you're like, this doesn't hurt. But then you got to fake like it does hurt so you don't get it from your dad.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
So it was kind of like that. Like, they got used to it. And then here comes the Board of Education. That, I mean, that's what I got anyway.
And he made them go bare for these, for those punishments, the spankings.
Yeah, he was a fucking bastard.
Yes, fully. And wasn't there, there was one girl that he paddled so much that she couldn't sit for many days.
I think it was almost 2 weeks is what I heard. It was almost 2 weeks that she could not sit.
Why does the name Rachel come to mind?
Oh, I didn't have a name.
They may have been in 1,000 lives, but he just paddled the shit out of
me. Was she 17?
It was. Maybe.
Yeah, because the girl I'm talking about is 17, I think.
You might be an adult.
Didn't you say he beat the hell out of one dude's dick?
Yep. He, in one of these meetings, I cannot remember what the guy did. He may have gone off the ranch, per se, and went and had... Wouldn't have relations with somebody. Why not? What else are you going to do? You just locked up in this people's temple? Pfft, forget that. But they took a rubber hose, held him down, and beat his penis to a bruised and swollen bloody pulp. Look, and he needed medical attention.
That's one way to get some girth. Make it swollen.
It's not going to be useful to anybody. No. He's not going to know he's using it anyway because he's got girth, but it's all purple and...
Oh, boy.
That's gross.
What a bastard this guy is. Seriously. He, like, beat the shit out of him. And before he would beat him, he would call him up on the stage, and then he would flatter him at first.
Yeah,
Him like, oh, my God, look at you're so beautiful. And then... Boom! Swiftly cut him down and just start berating him, humiliating him on stage with this, like, loud, aggressive, like, you fuck, like, just crazy. It's I don't know, he's like a psychopath, dude.
Like, he was on all the drugs at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is the point in time when he started wearing the glasses nonstop. Like, at one point, it was sort of like for showmanship.
The glasses.
But then...
Right.
Yeah. And he wasn't wearing them all the time.
Just during sermons, he's like, I'm I'm the guru.
Hey, look at me.
The Fonz, he walks up, he's like, hey.
That was just for showmanship at first, but then when he started taking amphetamines... And then barbiturates behind it so that he could either stay awake all the time or finally go to sleep, force his body to sleep, and then force his body to be up, in and out of all that, it's going to mess with your eyeballs.
Yeah, they're going to look a little funky.
Yep. Going to get a little red. A lot of red.
Yeah.
All the red.
So red.
And then he had to put the sunglasses on and be like... You can't look directly in my eyes. You don't want to look upon the power of God.
Wow. Wow.
You might be in a cult.
Did you know in 76 he got... Oh, actually, let me tell you this real quick. After the punishment, after the catharsis, and he would beat the shit out of him, he would hug the individual, wrap his arms around him, and say that they were a better person now, and, quote, Father loves you. To which the individual had to respond into the mic, thank you, Father. After having your ass whipped by this piece of shit, now you got to thank him?
That's how you break somebody's mind. He was just breaking these people's mind the whole time.
Yeah, this is brainwashing.
Yes. Physically and mentally.
Yeah.
Part of the catharsis meetings, boxing.
Oh, yeah, that came later in it, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it didn't matter what age you were. If somehow you stepped out of line, you're a 72-year-old woman who stepped out of line somehow, you know, old ladies, man, they don't take no shit. They're going to tell you like it is. And Jim Jones is like, well, Get in a ring.
And it was, the shitty thing was, all punishment was equal, regardless of the crime. The quote-unquote crime. So, you know, if, I don't know. You missed the trash can.
Is that how socialism works?
You didn't realize it. Or if you peed on your brother's head. It was all the same punishment. You just got your ass fucking destroyed.
Yeah. Board of Education or a straight up beating. So it was basically a fist fight. I mean, but with boxing gloves. Boxing gloves happen to be on your fist or on their fists. The boxing was mostly just a straight beatdown. This person had no chance of defending themselves. There was no defense. It was just a straight...
They weren't allowed to defend themselves.
Peer pressure beatdown.
Yeah, they had to just...
Oh, really? They didn't have their own gloves?
I don't know if... They just had maybe to it evolved to where... Maybe it started as a boxing match, but you weren't supposed to fight back. You were supposed to just... If you fought back or defended yourself, you were considered a coward. You were supposed to just stand there and get your ass fucking destroyed by... It wasn't just one person either. It was a group of people just beat the shit out of these poor folks.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is all, well, not necessarily because. I'm sure it was, this crap was was eventually coming. That's what I think anyway. Regardless of the Eight Revolutionaries or the Gang of Eight, whatever you want to call them. Regardless of that, Jones was, his mind was slipping.
The Eight might have kickstarted it.
He was a mess.
Where before he was getting there, but then the Eight, and that's what kind of pushed him over the edge. The straw that broke the camel's back. I don't know, whatever other metaphors you can think of.
He needed his back broke.
And his fucking jaw and his skull.
If somebody would have just got rid of him, then.
Yeah, I mean. But
this is around the time, I think, he started getting into, or maybe that was just slightly later. There was one point that he got into, he was a chairman on the board of something for politics. And Senator Moscone, I think, he got a bunch of his congregation to vote for this guy in, but they were not of the district. So it was kind of an illegal voting. It was wrong.
I mean, that sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? Voter fraud.
Uh-oh. A little bit.
But in 76, this dude got Humanitarian of the Year from the LA Herald.
Well, it's because he beat everybody down to say that, oh, Jim Jones is the best. Look at him. He smacks cancer out of everybody. He smacks the devil out of everybody else who doesn't have cancer. He's the best.
Inside those walls, he was the devil. Outside, he was basically your typical Christian preacher. Like, they just assumed he was a good dude. Like, soup kitchens, all this other bullshit.
Yeah, he brought all this money in. Like, he took people's paychecks. He took people's pensions. And at one point, he made people give up their homes so that either the People's Temple could use the homes or sell them for money.
I'm telling you, I fucking hate this dude.
I don't know how anybody liked him. The only good thing about him is he just wanted I don't even know. The church idea was awesome. Bring everybody in. Doesn't matter about skin tone. That stuff didn't matter. And if the whole church is going to foster children, bring children off the street, get people off of drugs, awesome, awesome, awesome. But then he got real greedy because he just started collecting everybody's money. He collected money from the government. We're fostering these children, so give us money for the adopted children or whatever.
He was a massive con man.
Yes, he made his socialist world look like a church.
I mean, ever since he was young, he was conning, he was a con man.
Yeah, he just gave everybody these pretty words.
Yeah. He said that He said that if you were born in capitalist America, you were born in sin. And if you were born into socialism, you were not born in sin. And I could almost get down. I could almost get behind that statement.
Ooh.
Because,
okay,
in socialism, isn't that about sharing and helping your fellow man? Like, everyone shares everything, and what's mine is yours, and yours is mine, and ours is theirs, and theirs is ours. Which,
yes, I agree with that idea, sort of. But I mean, look, dude, you work your ass off for your money. Oh, you're not going to go buy your neighbor's groceries.
I don't believe in socialism at all. What my point is, I could almost I can see where he would think that, because socialism. So, I mean, isn't the point of life to kind of be friendly with everyone, help anyone you can, and be a good person?
Yes.
I kind of feel like that is the goal of socialism. It just doesn't work. It's not fair. Where capitalism is...
It's not...
Greed, essentially, right? You bust your ass, you fucking backstab anybody, you throw anybody under the bus just to get a few more bucks. I mean, how many times do you hear of somebody sleeping with their boss to get a raise? I see his point.
True.
Even though I hate him.
Yeah. I'm trying to relate all of this to my little community. We hang out with our neighbors. They have two daughters. We hang out with the other neighbors. And it's not all the time, but I mean, it's fairly often that we all get together and we just have a group meal. They'll buy stuff. We'll buy a bunch of stuff because there's six of them in our family. And everybody sort of buys some stuff and we're like, yeah, just go for it. Here's all the ingredients. Let's all put it together.
Like
melon
what?
Pies, for instance. Mountain pies.
I don't know
what
that is.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's fine.
What the hell is
a
mountain pie?
I didn't know what it was when
I
first moved to Pennsylvania either.
Tell the folks.
Oh, okay. I guess. So there's probably plenty of people that don't know what the hell a mountain pie is. It's a square pie iron. It's the size of a slice of bread. There's two ends of it, and they clamp together.
Okay.
So it's what they call a pie iron. So you slap on some butter or some cooking spray on one side of the pie iron and the bread. Well, mostly butter on the bread, but cooking spray on the iron itself. Then you put ingredients in it. Now, whether it's just pie filling, apple, strawberry, cherry filling, or if you want to make a pizza one, you put the sauce on the bread, you put some cheese down, put some pepperoni in it, or ham and cheese.
It's a fucking hot pocket.
Ham and cheese is good too.
Or a toaster strudel.
Yeah, yeah. You make a bonfire. It's a hot pocket that you put together yourself. You heat up the pot. You take the pie iron with all your ingredients on the bread. Slap the two pieces of bread together. Clamp the pie iron together. It's just square, and it's on sticks. Well, not regular sticks, but you know, metal sticks with handles. And you stick it in the fire, and you let it cook on one side for 5-7 minutes or whatever. Flip it over, let it cook on that side for a while. If it's surrounded by fire, then all sides get heated up. Take it out, open it up, and then you dump all your goodies on a plate, and it's just this, well, it's basically a hot pocket made in a bonfire.
I gotta be honest with you. It sounds kind of dope.
It's good, dude.
But it's almost too
much. Real good. When you guys come
up. It's almost
up,
too much work,
we'll
man.
Go to the Rusty Rail and stuff.
Like s'mores.
It's work. But it's fine. It's a good time. You gotta hurry up. You don't hurry up at a campfire.
Where
are
you gonna go? You gonna miss your show? No, there's no show.
Right. No.
Yeah.
You're hanging out at the campfire. Have a beer. Throw the pie together. Throw it in the fire. Have another beer. Take it out.
Have
Eat
another
it.
Beer.
Soak up some of the alcohol.
Then you gotta make another one.
Have another beer.
It's a loop.
It's a campfire. You're not in a hurry. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Next
exactly.
thing you know,
you're
not
in a hurry. It's a campfire.
15 mountain pies and 30 beers.
Don't tell anybody.
Old Jim Jones began taking the Bible out of his sermons and said that Christianity was a flyaway religion.
Ooh. And is that when he chucked the Bible across the room?
Yeah.
To show that it was flyaway?
He denounced the sky god and said that no one's going to come out of the sky to help you. There is no heaven up there. We have to make it here. And then he said, yeah.
Okay. Okay. That doesn't sound wrong to me. But let's make the best of it here.
Like, make this as much of a paradise as you can. But there's nothing wrong with that. I do see the problem is saying that he began telling everyone that he was God. And then also that there was never a miracle done in the world that he himself did not do. How old?
Dude, seriously.
I mean, is Jim Jones everlasting? We know he's not now, but.
Was he about 40? 40. So in 71, he was 40 years old. So he's working on, he's into his 40s at this point in the People's Temple. And suddenly, he's God. He's already done the miracles. Wasn't there, was something that he said he was he was Lenin resurrected. He was Jesus resurrected. And there was another one. He said he was the resurrection of.
So is he saying they were all resurrections of the previous?
Jesus.
So, okay.
Yeah. Yep. So Jesus resurrected into, I know there was another one in there. Gandhi?
Gandhi.
It was Gandhi. Didn't Gandhi and Lenin overlap, though?
I don't know. It took him a long time to resurrect if he waited until Gandhi. There could have been a few in between.
Jim Jones.
I mean, what's a few?
Yeah, maybe.
A few thousand years.
Blackbeard.
In heaven time, you know? A couple seconds.
No. Yeah.
So, this is... Jim started... This is when he really started to test his people. So he wanted to see how loyal they were. And he suggested that they leap from the Golden Gate Bridge for the cause. No big deal. Just, hey, let's all go there. We'll jump the fuck off and, you know, I'll stay back. Because Jack Beam, who was basically there from the beginning, he... After everyone was silent for a while, he yelled, "Okay, go ahead and kill yourself if you want, but leave the rest of us out of this." To which Jones said, "No, I'll be the only survivor in order to stay back and explain to the world why the temple did this." He became obsessed with the fact that...
And then everybody's like, yeah, like, yeah, that makes sense.
He just became obsessed with this. And that's when, on New Year's Day, he allowed them to drink wine to celebrate. And then when they
Oh, shit. Is that when it's coming?
You good?
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can hear you just fine.
So...
What? You can't hear me.
On New Year's Day, to celebrate, he allowed them to drink wine. And then after they consumed their glasses, he announced that they just drank poison. And,
No!
Everyone, they started to freak the fuck out. Obviously. They're like, what? What? So, he told... They freaked out for about an hour, he goes, nah, that wasn't poison. I just wanted to test to see who was ready to die for the cause. He did this numerous times.
That's to break their brains.
He's a fucking lunatic.
That's to mess them up.
I still can't hear you, dude.
Yeah.
I was just going by your, like, charades.
Mime. Oh. Just miming.
Uh-oh, he's trapped in a box. Oh, no. Climbing a ladder, going to the roof, going to the top of the Golden Gate Bridge to jump. lassoed the top. He's climbing up the side. You think you would take a... I can't hear you anyway. I can't hear your response. But I wonder if you would take a breath. You would, like, yell partway down. You're like... again? Like...
Yeah.
Is there any point in screaming? I don't know. I can't hear it. I can't fucking hear you.
I don't know. At some point, who knows? It's in the recording, though. Lips, you'll still hear me in the recording.
What the fuck is going on?
Ay, ay, ay. Cool, we're back. We didn't even know we were going to leave. Radical.
No doubt. Our biggest cursed series. We've never had issues like this. The audio just fucking stopped. Audacity stopped. I couldn't hear you. Then you couldn't hear me. And
restarted stuff.
I think it's Jim Jones is coming back.
We gotta stop talking shit about Jim Jones.
Well, he was a fucking bastard.
So you want to continue talking shit about Jim Jones?
Yeah. Fuck him.
He was a pile of shit. That's what he was. You know what he thought he was, though? He thought he was... I mean, we started talking about this before things got crazy, and you went into something else, and after all the audio crap, we don't even remember what you just said.
Nope.
Anyway, he thought he was the reincarnation of Jesus, Gandhi, Father Jealous Divine, Gautama Buddha, and Vladimir Lenin.
Hold up. He thought he was the reincarnated Jealous Divine?
Yeah. That's what he tried to go tell his wife, the younger wife, that Divine told the public, who was the reincarnated version of his older wife. And she's like, Jones, that's bullshit. That's what I did.
Yeah, that's my game, bitch. Holy fuck. Oh, man.
So that was a miserable failure for Jim Jones. And what he told his people, his inner circle, his congregation, she took me into her chambers and she showed me her titties. Like, no, nope. I don't want any of them. Nope.
That's like,
I gotta go.
That's like every kid in high school, every boy in high school. Like, all you did was kiss, and you're like, I fucking felt her up, guys. Yeah, I grabbed him. Like,
yep. And then you got rejected.
Totally rejected, but he just made up a bullshit story. Yep. Where he's like, yep, totally got laid, dudes. Totally.
She showed me her breast. Her sagging breasts.
Whoa.
And I said, no, I don't want any of that. No, we gotta go.
He only likes the barky ones.
And skinny white girls.
And young boys, I guess, right, too?
Well, you know, whoever needs it, whoever's in the want.
When in Rome, right?
I guess.
He was in that town it was known for. He said, let me give it a try. Come on.
He got arrested for that. We may have said that in the last one, too.
Yeah, we did. We talked about that.
But I can't believe he went to the reincarnated wife, which you know is complete bullshit. And he's like, hey, by the way, I'm also Father Divine. And she's like, what, son? You need to get your white ass out of here.
Fucking cracker.
Who said this? Let's see. Former temple member Hugh Forston Jr. quoted him as saying, what you need to believe in is what you can see. If you see me as your friend, I'll be your friend. As you see me as your father, I'll be your father. For those of you that don't have a father, if you see me as your savior, I'll be your savior. If you see me as your God, I'll be your God.
Are you fucking kidding me? You froze, dude.
Old Jim Jones. Fun-loving guy.
I didn't hear any of that because you froze.
It's in the recording.
Yeah. Oh my God, dude.
This is the cursed one. The whole series.
We got to finish this tonight.
Are we done yet? We're going to finish it in the next freaking hour and less than an hour.
10 fucking seconds is about all I'm giving it.
What's that clock? The world clock?
The doomsday clock?
Yeah, the doomsday clock. It's the Jonestown clock. It's counting down.
We're about 30 seconds to midnight here, guys.
All right. How fast you want to get to that? Let's see. He got Moscone into office, voted him in with the People's Temple people, which was, you know, photo frog, but they went with it anyway.
I thought you said photo frog.
Photo frog.
And I was like, what the fuck is that? It's a photo finish.
Kiss him, he's a prince.
You could tell because he's got a little crown on his head.
So where are we at? Let's see. Catharsis stuff. People were starting to defect. What was his name? Tim? No, Jim. Jim Bogue wanted to get out of the church. He brought, he came in with his wife and his kids, and he was all about the People's Temple for a while. And then he's, you know, catharsis meetings and all this stuff, and he's starting to realize, ooh, People's Temple's it's a little bit of a mess. We need, Edith, we got to go. Edith's like, Jim just said I could marry this other guy.
What? He's like, didn't you just see, he just beat that dude's hose with another hose. Like, it's time to go.
Yeah. Jim was ready to go, but Edith was not. So he's like, all right, I'm going to stay for my family. Got to stay here. Got to get him out. I got him in. Got to get him out.
That's love, man.
And then Jim Jones is like, hey, Jimbo, you know some stuff about farming, right? You're handy. We got to go to Guyana.
So he was one of the ones who got sent there?
Mm-hmm. Wow. But I guess slightly before that, he was one of the first ones to go because he was a good with farming, and he was good with mechanics. He invented all kinds of cool stuff to make life a little easier as they were building up Jonestown. But first...
So he was Nikola Tesla reincarnated.
I'll go with that. That's fine.
Yeah. But Jim Jones was Jesus and Father Divine and fucking Gandhi, and this guy was Nikola Tesla, just inventing fucking earthquake machines and shit.
Send this dude to the jungle. He's going to clear the jungle for you. Just send him down there. He's got nothing. Just shirt on his back. Go down there. He'll figure it out.
Yeah, he's like the professor on Gilligan's Island.
Yes, exactly.
Just making shit out of coconuts.
Got a radio out of coconut. For some reason, we can't get off this island.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Guyana was a British territory. And I'm pretty sure that it came out of the whole East India Company thing. The British were just like, I want that. I want that one. I want that one. Good Lord, I want that one too. Guyana was one of them. So in the early 60s, I think it was early 60s, early late 60s, Jim Jones had his eye on this place because it was English speaking. So that there wasn't a hurdle there. And they practiced socialism there, or they were going to. But, and I think it was 66 that they got their independence from Britain. So it took them a little while to establish themselves as some sort of republic, some sort of their own government territory.
Mm.
I think it was 66. So Dutch Guyana, 1667 to 1814, British Guyana from 1814 to 1966, independence from the UK becoming Guyana or Guyana, G-U-Y-A-N-A. Before that was G-U-I. So May 26, 1966.
I still say Guyana.
Guyana. I don't know. You know.
Whatever.
They're down there. So May 26, 66 is when they became independent from the UK. And that was the East India Company. I don't know for sure. I didn't dig into the full history of that territory. But I'm pretty sure that that was one of the territories that the British were like, the East India Company just started taking shit. This is one of them they let loose in the 60s.
The history, you crazy.
So February 23rd, 1970 is when they became a republic. And then Jones really had his eye on that place because they were coming into their own. I think he wanted to go a little bit sooner, but it wasn't primed. It wasn't ripe.
What, Jones?
The country wasn't ready for an influx of people.
Oh, okay.
But then when Jones expressed interest in going there, the government's like, yeah, we're having a problem with Venezuela anyway. You know, if we get a bunch of Americans in here and Venezuela attacks, then the U.S. is going to come down here and fuck up Venezuela. So, yeah, let's give them that territory over there next to Venezuela.
Right next to it, dude.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? Curse.
You there?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Say something.
You, I can hear.
It's got to be Skype.
I don't know. Start playing with your settings in Skype. Skype settings?
It's still picking me up.
It's so random when it happens.
Oh.
What?
Say something.
Yeah. Are you there?
Holy fuck. Yeah. It's every time she takes her damn AirPods off and puts them on, it fucks it up.
Turn your Bluetooth off.
Yeah, I am.
Goddamn her. It's been her the whole time. She's the reincarnation of Jim Jones.
I'm just going to delete them. Like, what the fuck? Is she listening to us? What the fuck's going on here?
She's listening to me. Just out of nowhere, she starts hearing.
Remove device. Yes, removed. What the fuck?
All right.
Yeah, here we should go. Be good now.
All right. So the whole idea to get these Americans in there was for Guyana to be protected from Venezuela. In the event Venezuela attacks Guyana, now they have the U.S. protection, in a sense, kind of indirectly, because they have all these U.S. citizens really there. But Jones is also like, you hear me?
Yeah, just more shit. Like, go ahead.
But Guyana wasn't fully, they liked the idea, but they weren't fully on board yet. So Jones and the People's Temple were like, hey, what do you guys say to $500,000? And Guyana's like, yeah.
Hell yeah. We'll take it.
You're going to come down here. You're going to be the agricultural project of the People's Temple. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. You can have all this land. You chop all this shit down yourself right next to Venezuela. Thank you for the money.
Well, yes, exactly. So the people of Guyana, they were British-speaking East Indians, Indians, like for the literal term, yeah. Indians.
It's kind of funny.
Do we really need a qualifier anymore?
It's kind of funny because it's like Guyana, but their capital is Georgetown. Like, that's British as fuck, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, come here, old George boy.
Where's Cambridge?
New London.
The new Thames River. That's what they sailed down. Sure to
oh.
No.
I was like, was that it?
No. It was a shitty-ass river, though. It took them 9 hours.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
I'm sorry.
Lost my train of thought. Hold on. Coming back. They decide they're going to move there. And Guyana is finally like, yeah, okay. You can have all this land over here. You can have all that land over there. You know, the stuff that we don't really... Yeah. No. Further right. Up a little bit. Right there. It's right next to Venezuela. That's the spot. Right there. Yep.
Those are the bad guys.
What's bad?
Venezuelans. Location? I'm sorry to all our Venezuelan listeners.
Yeah. Well, I mean... They might be okay now. For Guyana versus Venezuela, I mean. It might be a love-hate relationship.
Yeah, maybe.
But Guyana was all about getting the Americans down there, and they were armed. So Jones wanted to bring in a bunch of armed guards for the whole area.
Oh, God!
Pee your face!
I just opened a beer from... It's called Croydon Cream Ale American Lawnmower from Neshaminy Creek Brewing Company. And yeah, thank you. I got it from Will.
You're welcome.
He told me it was bad before I tried it, and he brought it to the beach when we went to the beach. And yeah, we went to the beach. Back off, COVID fucking freaks.
Yeah.
And he warned me it wasn't good, and I still drank it. And I open a new one. And it's not good.
Here we are. Ugh. No. Neshaminy Creek. Look, that one's a failure.
Epic fail.
You should probably hang it up. That one's a failure. So at this point, Jones is starting to get the area ready. He sent down a number of people, including Jim Bogue, because he had an idea about farming. And when they get there, there's just jungle. There's no kind of like prettiness. There's no kind of paths. There's nothing. And they're just like, here, this is the spot. This is the spot you guys bought.
It was just 15 people.
Here you go.
Too. It started as 15 people in 74. Right. They sailed out of Miami to go down there. 15 fucking people. That's it.
This is the spot, guys. Here you go. 15 people. And they had, you know, they just had some equipment, including chainsaws. But it turns out, jungle wood.
Oh, really?
Hard as F. Broke the chainsaws. Yeah, they were trying to chainsaw through these jungle trees, and the jungle trees were like, chainsaws?
I live broke in the fucking rainforest, man. I'm tough as shit. There's little teeth on this metal, yeah, exactly. Fucking me. Not doing shit to me.
No. Nope. The canopy was like three layers thick, because so if you get into the jungle, it's dark all the time. That's how thick the canopy was. Always wet, always humid. There's constantly insects and numbers of bugs and creatures and stuff in the darkness and big cats and everything. And it's just
sounds like Delaware dark. Minus big cats. Hot, humid, bugs everywhere. Just always fucking dark? It's dark. It's a dark place to live, man. Ugh.
It's all the pine trees.
Swamps. The swamps. Swamps. The allergies.
Swamps and pine trees. And then the Guyanese people were like, stupid white Americans, seriously? Look, this is how you're supposed to uproot a jungle tree. They put it like these pulley systems. So they wrap stuff around trees, around other trees, so they could pull up one. And then you just keep pulling the jungle tree down. You keep ratcheting it down until it uproots.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of work, man.
Yeah.
Chainsaw. To just pull it out of the fucking ground.
Yeah, that's it. Crazy. That's what you had to do to get a tree down. You just fucking rip it out, dude, of the ground. So they were like, oh, well, that's what we got to do. Okay, here we go. Rip that one out. Rip that one out. All right, now we got a little path. Set up a tent. And they did this for quite some time. And then finally, I think they started.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Shipping in more people, and they started shipping in more equipment, bulldozers.
Yeah, they eventually got the bulldozer and the backhoe and, I guess, more help. Now, obviously, it made it easier.
Yeah. And then they finally cleared some land, and they're like, all right, cool. Let's start planting some stuff. And they started planting stuff that's typical for the area that we live in, like Indiana, Northern California. They started planting, you know, potatoes, regular tubers, corn, tomatoes, you know, that kind of stuff that grows easily in the U.S. in this indigenous area, seasonal area. And they started putting that stuff in the ground there, and the ground absolutely rejected it. Because there's no nutrients in the ground. And the Guyanese were like, you stupid white Americans, come on. You got to burn the trees to get the nutrients. You got to use the ash of the burnt and jungle trees to get the nutrients for plants to grow.
They like that shit on fire.
Yeah, exactly. And then you got to mix it into the soil that's there. Because not far under the soil that's there is just straight clay. So nothing will grow. Nothing could root into that. There's no nutrients. So they had to rip trees down, burn the trees, cut it into lumber, made pathways. There's still snakes everywhere. And eventually they started getting stuff going. And I think, what was this? 74, was it 74 when they went down there? Is that what you said? And I think early on is when they planted seeds for orange trees. Okay. And it takes a few years for an orange tree to grow and fruit into an actual orange. Jonestown didn't have that long.
No.
So they were going to fruit eventually, but there wasn't nobody there to get those
fruits. That's sad, man. Yeah.
I know, isn't it? You put all this time and effort in. I mean, it sounded like such a good idea to get down there and start hoeing away.
Stop your hoeing.
And getting stuff going. Jim Bogue was one of them. He got sent down there because it was part of his punishment for trying to bring his family out. But when he was down there, he figured all this stuff out. He got stuff set up, and they had a little the radio room so they could communicate back and forth. Oh, also, backing up a little bit, you know Jim Jones had a podcast?
Are you serious?
Yeah, but in California, he would go to this radio station every once in a while, once a week, I think, and he would speak for 15, 20 minutes about the People's Temple.
That's a radio show. Station. That's a fucking commercial, dude.
Come on, man. That was the original podcast.
It's like when you tell people you do a podcast, and they're like, what radio station is it on? It's not on a radio, you old fart. It's on the internet.
It's the internet radio. That's what my mom says. You playing that game with Elijah again? Is that why you didn't answer the phone? What do you call it? You playing that podcast?
You playing a podcast?
Mom.
Hey, is that on Xbox?
What do you call it? Is that why the TV is messed up? I can't hear anything on the TV. Because you playing the podcast? You playing the podcast with Elijah. I can't see anything on the TV. Mom. Anyway, they were down there just hacking away at the jungle. And when Jim Jones wasn't there,
yeah,
it was
they
a good
had a
time.
Great time.
Yep, they had stuff figured out. They, you know, they'd get supplies from Georgetown, which wasn't that far away in that location. And they just kind of, they were in it. They were figuring out while they were there.
They named the area People's Temple Agricultural Project. And it was referred to by the members as Freedom Land, but most people called it Jonestown. So this is where the name Jonestown comes in.
So he didn't name it.
Yeah.
The people named it for in
honor of him. Yeah.
For him, in honor of him.
In honor of their dear leader. I'm just waiting for North Korea to be called Kim Jong-un Land.
Unland. The second. Unland the second.
They're like, we don't want to be...
Or whatever it is.
We don't want to be the North...
Is he the third?
Korea. We want to be our own thing. It's
I'm not sure
Kim
why
Land.
They haven't changed it already.
Kim is the last name.
Oh, yeah,
Kimland.
Right. I mean, hey.
Yeah.
It's their land. They can do what they want.
Can they? Can they just change the name of it? I guess they can, right? So
it's their country. Like, who do you file with?
So could...
United Nations? You don't just file it with the United Nations?
Who could change the name of the U.S.?
I think considering we're a democracy...
Well, it would have to... Yeah, have obviously, to it would decision. Have to be voted on, but... That seems so fucking weird to me.
To just rename a country.
And like Carolina.
Well, I mean,
Carolina was like, fuck this. We're down here, we're South Carolina. You up there, you're North Carolina. Fuck you. We're two states now.
Right, Virginia. We're west.
Although, yeah,
Virginia.
We're a little northwest.
You see the mountains?
But we're just going straight west.
And the Dakotas were like, nope. Borders just, here.
That's it. Straight line.
Straight across. See, you see this parallel? I don't need any of your latitude. Okay?
I wonder if there's any houses right on the border where it's like really questionable.
See, long distance calling. Remember back in the day? I don't know if you're old enough to remember that kind of thing, but like on the state line, long distance call to the neighbor that was a mile away in a different state.
Shit's crazy, dude. But yeah, they had a good time. Well, I don't
know. Yeah, go ahead.
A lot, but like, you know, they built and made everything they had. They had a good time without Jim there. Dinner. They had good dinners, like fish, some sort of like green vegetable, like just, and then after dinner, they'd all go and...
Yeah, they were...
congregated. It was like a pavilion or something at the center of the commune, and they just...
Right. One reason everything was fine is because they were trying to figure out the crops, and then eventually they figured out to grow the local crops, the crops that would grow there, different kinds of tubers, starchy stuff, the fruit or the vegetables that would grow into that land well. But it was only so many people. It was only, you know, 50 to 100 people or whatever that they could sustain with what they had.
Yeah.
But eventually, back in California, things were getting real riled up with old Jim Jones and his political ways. And he was making his people go sabotage these magazines. It was a New West magazine or something. He made them go into these places to copy the files, take pictures or whatever the files, because he wanted to find out what they were actually saying about him. He had this like freaking the diversion committee. He would send these people out to find all this stuff.
He was a fucking megalomaniac. Yeah.
He really was. He was a mess. And eventually he got word of, do you want to skip that far ahead? Where he's getting ready to move down to Jonestown?
Yeah, we might as well. Like we said, this is our cursed episode. So the sooner we get to the end, probably the better.
Yeah. I think in this time period, I think it was right before people started moving, right before Jonestown actually happened, is when Debbie Layton, the author of Seductive Poison, she came back from England. She was at boarding school. Great story. I definitely recommend it. She came back from boarding school in London because she was just kind of a pain in the ass kid. So her mom was actually a surviving German Jewish person. So her family is a straight descendant of the German Jewish encampment and all, you know, the whole, all that stuff. But, you know, she still had family over in England and stuff. What's her name? Lisa Layton. So she sent Debbie Layton over there to stay with her aunts and other family over there. And she met her future husband, Mark Blakey.
Oh, Blakey.
And...
Oh, Blakey.
Oh, Blakey.
Sorry.
At one point, she came home, and her brother, Larry Layton, he is a very integral part of the end of the story, invited her to come to the People's Temple. And that's when she met Jim Jones. And it's so crazy how Jim Jones knew so much about Debbie Layton.
Go figure.
Because Larry told him every fucking thing, and she's like, oh, my God. My God. Jim, how do you know all this stuff? Jim. What? Jim. No, you can't know.
I see you have a brother named Larry. Larry likes to spy on you.
He can't possibly.
And tell me things. No, not that, not that.
You can't possibly know that. But she was a naive 19-year-old girl in that time. Larry had married Carolyn Layton, or Carolyn, can't remember what her maiden name is, but he married Carolyn, eventually became Carolyn Layton. Then Jim Jones was so enthralled by her that he convinced Carolyn to stay with him, and eventually those two had a kid together, but he sent her away. I think she's the one.
He's a fucking Koresh. He's like fucking David Koresh, dude. He's like, I want your wife. I want your wife.
Yeah.
I want to
fuck
that one. I want to fuck that one.
But he didn't say no to anybody else. He's like, Larry, listen, I got a thing for Carolyn. Look, there it is. It's right in my pants. Anyway.
Is that a towel rack?
You can have Karen. Karen's over there.
No, it's too small. It's a washcloth. Sorry.
Here's Karen. Karen likes you very much. Look at Karen. Here you go. Go over there and marry Karen. She likes you. I'll take Carolyn. It's a whole... The names
like
mess me
yes
up
or no.
A lot. Circle Ezekiel for yes and Jacob for no. So I might be getting this wrong, but it was either Carolyn or somebody else that Jim got pregnant and sent her away for the duration of the pregnancy, and then she came back and said, They kidnapped me and raped me in Mexico. I was in a Mexican prison for the whole time. And here's my baby. His name's what? Chemo. Well, I think they ended up nicknaming him Chemo.
That's a terrible fucking nickname.
I know. But the whole Layton thing was just a freaking mess. Eventually, Debbie Layton was fully enthralled by the People's Temple. She never went back to London to finish boarding school. She convinced her boyfriend over there to join the People's Temple also. And Jones didn't really want them being... Well, what happened was he set them up to be married to each other, but then kept them separated. It was a forced marriage, but then forced to be apart also. Jim John Prokes was the name of Carolyn's child, and they nicknamed him Chemo for some stupid-ass reason. I don't really know why.
I don't know. Maybe it's pronounced different. Yeah.
Chemo?
K-I-M-O. Chemo. Chemo.
Chemo.
Maybe it's Chemo.
Chemo. I don't know. But it could have been. I don't know how it would have been pronounced in a Mexican rape prison, but...
That does not sound fun.
Moving on.
Hey, you want some of my taquito?
I'll give you a little Chemo.
I hear you like enchiladas, eh? Take a look at this burrito.
Nah, I better cut all this shit out. We're gonna get sued and fucking fined and thrown in jail and fucking social justice warriored.
Then we'll go to Mexican rape prison. Jamaica fun of my little burrito, huh?
Jamaica.
Jamaica. Jamaica fun of it, huh?
I love Mexican food. Jamaican
fun of the way I talk.
Not Taco Bell, you fucking savages. No, not Chipotle not either, you bastards. Food. Real Mexican food.
Yeah.
I like Jamaican food. Jerk chicken. That's the shit.
Nope.
I'm off topic.
Pretty sure there's a bunch of sexual references in there, and we're not going to say them.
Look, I like jerk chicken, okay?
Good Lord. Yeah, it was Carolyn Layton that Jim Jones had a baby with. It's a boy.
My hat hit the mic.
The whole Layton thing was a mess. Eventually, Debbie Layton convinced her mother to join the People's Temple also. No, I think Lynetta, Jim Jones's mom, was part of bringing in Debbie Layton's mom, Lisa Layton.
It's the mom's club.
It's the mom's club, the whole thing. Before Debbie Layton and her mom, Lisa Layton, left California, Lisa was diagnosed with lung cancer, and they took part of one of her lungs. And then not long after that is when those two left for Jonestown. And Debbie gets into a lot of detail about it. They go to Miami from California. They fly to Georgetown, to this real, real shitty... You can't even consider it an airport. It's just a dirt runway.
Why get a bash on the airports, dude? Well, that is their
It's just a
airport.
Dirt runway. A bash on airports.
That's theirs. Wow, unbelievable. You think you know a guy.
The plane's held together with
You don't
duct
know
tape.
That. Could have been a Boeing 737. I don't know. I have no clue.
In
I don't
the
know
70s?
Anything about planes. I know they have wings, they have wheels, and they have, I don't know, some of them have propellers, some of them have jet engines.
And some are big.
Some are small.
Some are real
That's what
big.
She said.
It's not the size. It's the motion in the ocean when the airplane goes down.
Bermuda Triangle?
Uh-oh. No, they were a little bit west of the Bermuda Triangle, I think so. From Miami to Georgetown, Guyana. Area, and then from Georgetown they got on Cudjo, a boat, and they sailed into the Caribbean area, and then they sailed around to Port Kaituma.
I think it's Cartuma. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter. What, I'm like, yeah, one letter wrong.
Cartoon Network. Adult Swim. It's on Cartoon Network.
I don't even know where to go. Cartuma Life.
Oh, we're going to Port Cartuma. Cartuma? And then from when it went into... from Port Cartuma down the river, it took... They said it was going to take like 25 hours from Georgetown area, sail into the Caribbean, and then down the river to Jonestown. And when they got to the mouth of the river... I can't remember the name of the freaking river. At Port Cartuma. But it took them another 9 hours to just cruise down the river to finally get to Jonestown.
I have a thing that said they floated down the river to Port Cartuma, or Cartuma, or whatever you're saying, and then they drove 6 miles down this, shitty little dirt road.
Yeah.
So, what I have is they went to the river first to Port Cartuma, and then drove down this road. I could be wrong, too. I could be wrong, too.
Yep. I'll go with that.
Like I said in the last episode, all my research is hearsay. Jim Jones told me.
Indirectly. Well, he died a handful of years before you were born. So, are you saying you're a reincarnation?
I'm not saying it, but I might act like that in the not to bring on a weird cult.
Ooh. Hey, hey.
So, actually, I guarantee you, maybe. I would not act like that.
Those big faux aviator glasses. Two-tone faux aviator. They got down to Jonestown. And this is when mostly pretty much everybody was down there. And the original people that were there, there was suddenly an influx of all these people. The land could not handle this many people at one time. The land was not prepared for 900 people. 50 to 100 people, okay, they could sustain themselves. It wasn't living. It wasn't luxury, but they could sustain themselves. But all these people came down there, and all of a sudden, they had to build cabins real quick. They were stacking bunk beds three high.
Like the fucking high-rise bunk beds?
Yeah, exactly. So one person has to climb down to get in bed, and the next one just kind of rolls into bed, and the next one has to climb up to get in bed.
Are they already on the top bunk?
You gotta, maybe. They climb all the way up
and then have to go down one? Didn't they have elevators? What the fuck? Oh.
It's reverse backwards.
That means forward.
Don't bring your negative attitude in here. Double negatives.
Don't not bring your negative attitude in here.
Yeah. Damn it. So all these people were just freaking piled in there. And Jim Jones, one of his reasons to go down there is because they were starting to really like close in on him. Dude was so paranoid about the FBI and the CIA, unbelievably paranoid about them and just regular police. He instilled it into all of his people that you could not trust anybody in an authoritative position.
I'm fucking down with
anybody. Hold on now. It was so bad at one point when Debbie got out, her brother was driving her from one city to another just randomly. Not randomly. There was a meeting that she needed to get to. But there was a cop just driving down the road. And she's like, oh my God, Tom, there's a cop. We got to pull over. Get out of the way. There's a cop. And he's like, Debbie, you need to calm down. I'm glad there's a cop. I'm glad there's a police officer. He's going to protect us. And she was so enthralled with everything Jim Jones had buried in her brain. He was burying this in the brains of all the people.
I mean, just brainwashing.
Yes, exactly. That's straight up what it was. They were down there, and it didn't take long until he started doing these white nights.
That sounds fun.
Did you read about any of those? White night?
Yeah.
Just light the night. It's a good time. It's like 4th of July, but Guyana. Oh, yeah, sure. No. Oh.
What is it?
Not even a little bit. Come on. Let's go, everybody, to the center pavilion. Yeah. Come on. Here we go. Right. Drink this. Here we go. You said about it earlier. Drink this potion. drink the wine. By the way, the wine's poison.
What?
Oh, shit. You're going to die in 45 minutes. But here you are in the middle of the jungle. Drink this. But the thing was, these people were so beaten down working these ungodly hours trying to build up this community in the middle of a jungle. They were like, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever, dude. Kill me.
I'm fucking exhausted, man.
I'm so
tired. Let's end this.
Bugs bite. They bite every part of my body.
Mosquitoes the size of crows.
I'm so tired. It's, please. Crows.
Oh.
That's when I started boxing mosquitoes.
All right, these bitches getting catharsis right now.
He's, yeah, there were still freaking catharsis meetings down in Jonestown, even though people were working 15, 16 hours a day in the incredible humid weather. And people, he would talk to them after they worked all these hours. They wake up in the dark, work until dark, barely get a drink of water. Don't you dare touch any of the crop that they're growing while you're out there harvesting the crop or making the crop grow yourself. Don't touch your sugar cane. Don't touch anything. You're going to get punished for it. And then they go back to the pavilion or area and make everybody sit down and listen to Jim Jones rattle on about all this stuff
for
hours and hours and hours. And don't you dare fall asleep either after you've worked all those hours, because
he's not sharing his amphetamines.
Mess you up.
You're not getting any of that. You better go find some fucking coca.
No.
You know?
Dude,
that's crazy.
Dude got fat
on amphetamines.
Yeah. He swelled up. He's not doing anything but just rattling into the radio all day long. If he's not talking himself, he's playing a tape of him talking. So he is driving himself into all the brains of all these people so that you don't even have a moment of your own free thought.
1984 by George Orwell, where it was just constant, like, speakers everywhere, and it was just constant propaganda just blaring out of the speakers.
I never actually read that book.
I think it was in 1984, but it kind of reminds me of the same thing. It's just constant propaganda just blasting out of the speakers. If he's too tired, if he took his barbiturates, he's taking a little rest, he's blasting himself over the speakers, it's just constant bullshit.
Yeah. That's what it was. But he was so high on his drugs that at certain times he would slur his words. So everything was just, he's swollen. His tongue. Yeah, he's just
we've
talking.
Been there.
So.
Well, I know I have.
Maybe. Fire in the sky. Dirt in the ground. I don't know.
Big Pharma. I was fucked up in Big Pharma.
It's a mess.
That was a long episode, dude.
It was. We're trying to burn our way through this one, too. But every once in a while, the people that were running the radio were like, yeah, Jim's kind of fucked up right now. Why, it's annoying.
Yeah.
Better turn the radio off. So every once in a while, we get a break from Jim Jones slurring his words. And it was a nice...
I'm sure it was.
Nice break. But it wasn't over.
It wasn't? I thought there was a happy ending.
There's still...
Oh, it sounds like such
not
a happy place.
Not even.
Hey, come on down to Jonestown. Woo doo doo. You know, we gotta.
Well, that's how he preached it to his people to get them down there. Like we gotta go down there soon. So what he did, at one point before everybody moved down there, he went to Georgetown, bought all this fresh produce, took it to Jonestown,
and laid it
out like they had grown it in Jonestown. There's videos. There's actually videos of this. You can see it. There's so many tapes. There's so many videos and pictures. It's unreal to entice these people to go down there. Jonestown is the promised land.
We're going to
take everybody to the promised land. The PL. Yes. Ah, he was such a con man. The whole time. But he would constantly do these white knights. One of them was so bad that he was like, he was unbelievably paranoid. White knight. We got to go. Took everybody that was in Jonestown, marched them through the jungle at night. off to Port Kaituma. When they got to the, it was like 6 days of them just straight marching through the dark
racist
jungle.
Racist thing? Like, no, the white
what,
knight.
Dark jungle?
All us white people are going to go to, like.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It was, that's what he told him. Actually, yeah. He said the white people are coming. They don't want us here. You know what's happening in the U.S. right now? There's race wars everywhere. Chicago is destroyed. You can't go back to Chicago. There's no more Chicago. That's what he was telling all these people down in Jonestown.
Did he change? Did he become racist? He's like, all right.
Change what?
Here we go. Here comes the whites. White power.
Well, it was the FBI. It was the CIA. I don't think it mattered what color they were. They just weren't black people. They just weren't brown people. Somehow that gave him power over everybody in the People's Temple, that it was a white knight. They're coming for us. We gotta go.
Misunderstood. Run, run, run. I thought you meant him and his whole group started marching towards town, like him and the fucking People's Temple. Okay,
No. They were trying to escape. But the only thing that was going on, he was telling his guards to go out in the jungle.
Oh.
And just randomly shoot. Well, his kids. Steven, Jim Jones Jr., he told his kids, who were part of the guard, to go out in the jungle and just randomly shoot. They're here. They're here.
Just
we gotta go.
Fucking killing white knight. Like panthers and shit. Just.
No. Yeah, just shoot. They got all the way to the port, and I think it was Hyacinth Thresh. Was it her? There was one older lady who they got all the way there, and then she fell off the ramp and broke her hip. And somehow that brought Jim Jones back into a reality, and he's like, nah, never mind. Come on. We're going back. We're back to Jonestown. No, we messed up. Let's go.
Hell, my phone, I can't get up.
The next part, yeah, he would do these randomly to break everybody's spirit, just to get them used to this drinking the poison or not drinking the poison. All this time it was not drinking the poison, not doing it, not doing it, not doing it. Then I guess we could come to the end, right?
I mean, there's details that we're gonna skip over, but we just kind of have to make this not be a 4-parter, 5-parter,
yeah,
12-parter.
Right. If you want to go down this rabbit hole, I highly recommend those books. Last podcast on the left did several parts on it. Road to Jonestown, Thousand Lives, Seductive Poison.
Yeah.
Do you have any recommendations? Case Files?
Yeah, is that what it was called? Case Files? The podcast I listened to?
Yeah, case number 60.
Yeah, hang on.
Case number 60 something something something.
Quite expecting that. Hang on. Yeah, Case File. And it's Case 60 Jonestown. It's a 3-parter. Whoever the narrator is, I guess he's anonymous. Episode narrated by the anonymous host. But phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. The way the guy reads it, all the research and shit.
Right. I think I listened to that one too. May of 78 is when Debbie Layton got out, and her whole story is very good. She actually left her mom, Lisa Layton, when they got down there. I can't remember when they actually got down there. Lunetta Jones was dead. She died in the jungle, and that's another thing that really fucked up Jim Jones. That was his mom died. He could not protect his mom with his great God aura. One of the things that he told his congregation was, I cannot heal your ailments. I cannot protect you from this because I'm trying. I'm seeing these prophecies and I'm trying to keep out our enemies from Jonestown. I can't use my power to heal you. You're going to have to heal yourself because I'm trying to keep our enemies.
It reminds me of like Heaven's Gate, where it's like his mom dies and just like at Heaven's Gate, how fucking, I don't know what the fuck her name was.
I can't remember. He was
something like that.
He was Doe and she was like, tea or something.
Shit. Like, oh yeah, we're gonna have to die. And then here, Jonestown, his mom dies. He's like, I can't protect anyone. I can't do it.
Nope. See, look, I'm already doing everything I can. Debbie got out in May of 78, and her tale is amazing. She had to do all this scheming and secretive running around to get away from people because they would not let any member do anything solo. There had to be somebody else with them. They were telling on everybody. Everybody told on everybody. It was messed up, dude, the whole time. And you couldn't trust anybody. If you had a secret thought, don't tell anybody else because that person is going to go back to Jones himself and you're going to get called out on it. And then there's going to be a catharsis meeting on you.
Dude.
Don't share your thoughts. Keep your thoughts to yourself. Don't fucking fall asleep during any kind of meeting.
Just shut your fucking
mouth. Just freaking survive. And then, yep, and do your work. Jim Bogue's son, Tommy Bogue, that whole thing is crazy too. That's in 1,000 Lives. I know we're kind of running through stuff here, but we got to get to the meaty part. Congressman Leo Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Went down to Jonestown to have a visit and to see if anybody wanted to leave. He started planning stuff early November 78. And he did not have some sort of military entourage. And the stuff that happened to him is one reason why U.S. congressmen have some kind of security force, military, Secret Service, you know, in that level when they leave the country for whatever meeting. This was one reason, because he went down with just some press and some family members. Jones didn't want a bunch of family going into Jonestown. He wanted to show off for Leo Ryan. So they dump a bunch of people in Georgetown, and then they go to Jonestown, Leo Ryan and a handful of people, press, cameramen, stuff like that. They go and they interview a bunch of people. Mm. There's videos of a bunch of people getting interviewed, and November 18th, 1978. And then there's a number of people that wanted to leave. And it was Gosney, I think. There was one guy handed a note to. It wasn't Congressman Leo Ryan. It was somebody else that he handed the note to. It was a press correspondent. And he thought it was Leo Ryan himself. And then the guy dropped the note. So then the People's Temple member picked up and handed it back to him. And even the kids were tattletales. The kids were like, he passed it out. Get him out. What? Dude ran into the crowd. And eventually the note was addressed like, "Dear Congressman." So the guy who first got it handed it to Leo Ryan, the congressman. And he's like, that's weird. So he took it to Jim Jones himself. Leo Ryan had balls of steel. He was like, okay, I'm here. What are you going to do to me? You can't do anything to me. I'm a U.S. congressman. This is American soil, apparently. You can't do anything to me. Look, Jones, people want to defect. What are you going to do about this? They're liars. You can't trust anybody.
I don't know if I'm going too far ahead. Didn't they fucking attack him? Did I go too far ahead? I'm sorry.
Yep. They, just a little bit. So what happened was he got this note and he saw that this family wanted to go. And then, a couple other people decided they wanted to defect with their families. So he was prepared to take a dozen people, I think, on one trip. And all total, he was expecting, 10% of the people that were down there, 90 people, all total. And he expected these people to just be there. He would take some back, and then he would come back for some more. Multiple trips for multiple people.
Right.
That was one of the plans for Leo Ryan. But he was expecting some people, but then all of a sudden there was like two dozen people wanted to go. I think it ended up being 16 people that said they wanted to go. But it was only the one family at first, but then a rainstorm came in out of nowhere. So then Leo Ryan and the press entourage and whoever was with him had to stay in Jonestown overnight, which was kind of a bitch. If it was just one day, they would have got out of there and would have been a handful of people to go.
You're used to sleeping in luxury. Now here you are staying overnight in a fucking rainforest, a jungle.
Yeah,
in a fucking teepee or some shit.
Yeah, they, you know, they try to make it look good. They gave him chicken, and you know, they try to make everything look good. And a lot of people were like, "No, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I'm here for the duration. Jim Jones did all this stuff for me. I don't want to go at all." And Ryan was like, "Okay, Leo Ryan, whatever. Okay, that's your prerogative. But if you want to go, I'm here. We can go." But then they stayed overnight. And then the next day, even more people wanted to go. So they, Ryan's like, "Well, you know, we can only take so many people. Load up in the truck. I'll stay here. You take them to the airport. Get another airplane prepared. I'll wait here." And then while he was waiting, he was a vet of a war. I think it was the Vietnam War. He came up and he put a knife to Leo Ryan's throat. "You're going to die here, motherfucker."
Just a fucking flashback because he's in a jungle?
Because he was so enthralled by Jim Jones. Dude. He was ready to kill. But the thing is that he hesitated. I can't remember the guy's name. There's so many names. It's unreal. He hesitated, and that the hesitation was long enough for other people to grab him.
Yeah.
The guards or I think it was Congress or lawyers or something. They grabbed him, and what happened was the knife that he held actually cut himself with it, and blood sprayed right onto Leo Ryan himself. So it was like, "Oh my God, dude, are you okay?" He was like, "I'm not, nope, I'm not staying now." He just went to the truck and jumped on the side of the truck.
He just jumped in the ocean. He
"No,
starts
it's not my
swimming
blood.
Home.
We gotta go.
I'm out, bitches."
He's scared to death. And then this is when Larry Layton, Debbie Layton's brother, who got her into the People's Temple, his wife Carolyn Layton had the kid with Jim Jones. Jim Jones told him to marry Karen Layton. I think they eventually had a kid. Maybe. Maybe
That's
she died.
A drastic
anyway,
difference there, dude.
I know. There's so much going on. There's so many moving parts. But Jones told Larry Layton to get on the truck with them. And what he wanted them, what Larry to do is when they take off in the airplane, shoot the pilot and shoot whoever else you can, and but make sure that plane goes down.
Yeah.
and Larry's like, "Okay, you know, whatever. I've been here since way back." Larry was just totally on board. But everybody else is like, "Oh, no, Larry. You can't trust Larry. You can't trust Larry. Don't trust Larry."
This is all so crazy, dude.
I know. And then the truck of people, or the two trucks of people, get to the airport. And only one of the planes is there so far. And Jim Jones told a force of his guards to get in another truck, a semi, and drive out to the airport and shoot everybody.
Yeah.
Kill Leo Ryan.
Why not?
Kill him. That was the main objective. Get out there, kill him. And yeah, they did. They got out there. They were getting ready to board the plane. The people that defected, Leo Ryan, you know, the whole group. Some of them got on a plane, including Larry Layton. And the armed guards that came up, they just started blasting. Killed Leo Ryan right off the bat. He didn't have a chance. But they made sure, they went up to him and made sure that he was dead. They shot him a couple more times.
Well, you got
to
make sure.
While he was on the ground, already dead. Yeah. There was a number of people that scattered. They ran into the jungle. Because, you know, this is just dirt freaking runway. But eventually they came back. Or no. The plane took off with Larry Layton in it. And he shot at a couple of people. Injured them, you know, flesh wounds for a couple of people on the plane. But they subdued him, and they continued on. But eventually they got him back to Georgetown to be tried for all this stuff. The armed guard made sure whoever was dead, and they went back to Jonestown. And that's when things were getting underway for Flavor Aid poisoning time.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid?
Yeah. And apparently that's for those people that were in it.
Really?
Kind of derogatory.
Huh.
Yeah. Debbie Layton.
Sorry, Debbie.
Debbie Layton does not want to hear that.
She's going to listen to this.
Yeah. Somehow, oh, I'm sure she is. Yeah, probably. No. But, yeah, somehow, you know, that's now into the cultural zeitgeist. I guess you can say that. Yeah. That's a cultural phrase to say, don't drink Kool-Aid. But apparently that's how it began. And the survivors of the People's Temple, Jonestown, and all that kind of take it. They don't take it well when people start saying that kind of stuff.
Don't drink the Kool-Aid. That seems so crazy to me. Like, you really shouldn't, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's just a phrase, but don't drink it. Don't drink it in gulps. But this is where the story gets real, real dark. Because Jim Jones called up the mothers with the babies. You can take it with the babies. We're going to give it to the babies first. You can take it with the babies if you want and go with your babies. So they had the medicine syringes.
Yeah.
You know, if you give your kid like amoxicillin or whatever. It's not a needle. It's not a needle syringe. It's just a vial
amoxicillin from a spoon or whatever. It's just easier to squirt it in their mouth.
Right. You just squirt it in their mouth. There's a whole other, we can't get into it right now, but there's a whole other backstory with Lawrence Schacht.
I bet he was shocked.
Who was the doctor who figured out all this stuff. I don't think he was shocked at all. He was just like straight into it. For 1 pound of cyanide to poison 1,800 people, it cost
what?
$1.65. Or no, $8.65.
Either way, that's cheap as shit.
$8.65 or $8.85.
God, I hope my wife doesn't hear this.
Yeah, under $9 to get
my
enough
wife hears
cyanide.
I'm in trouble.
Don't eat apples. Correct. Apparently, you can. There's a form of cyanide in apple seeds.
Yep. Not a good way to commit suicide. Eating a bunch of apple seeds, you'll probably get full before you die from apple seeds. Yeah,
probably. Yeah. You know what cyanide does to you?
No, I don't.
It cuts off your cells from absorbing oxygen, so you suffocate from the inside out. And they were just taking these syringes and just squirting in the baby's mouths and squirting in the mom's mouths. And Jim Jones is like, it doesn't hurt them. It just, they're crying because it tastes bad. Or, you know, whoever was out there, they're crying because it tastes bad. It's not actually hurting them. They're going quick. They mixed tranquilizers in there too. So there was like Valium and cyanide in this purple freaking flavor aid.
Fuck.
Nope, it doesn't hurt them. They're just crying because it tastes bad. No, man, that is freaking brutal. Your brain's screaming because they can't get any
statement.
Oxygen.
This guy is one of the biggest pieces of shits I've ever read about. Not the biggest, because like I said before, Hitler and Mengele and all that shit, but he is one of the biggest pieces of shits I have ever researched in my life.
Yeah, and he's just like, yeah, let's do it. This is how we're going to go out. This is revolutionary suicide. We died because you wouldn't let us live. That was the final line in one of his inner circle people, Maria, I think. She wrote a note. So as people were taking this stuff, they were dying on the spot, and they were kind of piling up. So the baby would have it, and then the mom would have it. Then they would collapse together. And then somebody else would come up in line and take it, and then they would collapse on somebody else. And it was just literal layers of people. That's why the next day when the GDF, the Guyana Defense Force, came in, they just counted on the surface. Okay, we see like 338. Maybe there's 400 here. But they didn't look into them. And that's, the U.S. is like, Guyana, you just want to dig a hole and kick everybody in? You think that's a good idea? And the guy is like,
yeah, fuck you,
these
man.
Are American citizens. Get down here and get them.
You guys have the only backhoe here. That's a lot of work. We only have shovels and sticks.
Yeah. It says cat right on it. We can't even spell that.
But they would put like a U in there.
I don't know.
It's like C-A-T-U.
Oh, yeah. Out of nowhere, just a U. For no reason.
You fucking Brits.
But all these people were just piling up. They were foaming at the mouth, just straight dying. And Jim Jones didn't take it.
How did he die? Really?
Gunshot wound to the head. Ooh. The gun was not near his person. The gun that killed him was with, I'm pretty sure her name was Maria. Pretty sure. Getting there. I know. We're getting there. She, after, the theory is, after she shot him, she went into a cabin and wrote her final note and then shot herself. And she also poisoned herself. She poisoned herself and then shot herself. So she was going to die no matter what after she wrote this letter. And that last line you could either take as she was directing it at Jim Jones or she was directing it at capitalist America. We died because you would not let us live. When the Americans got down there finally after a few days, the initial reports were 300 to 400 people were dead on the surface. So there was a lot of families still holding out hope because we're still missing 500 people at that point. But when the Americans got down there to clean stuff up, that's when they discovered there was layers of people. And the number skyrocketed all the way to 908, I believe, was the number in Jonestown from the poisoning. And they loaded these people up and took them to Dover Air Force Base in Delaware. But they only did 6 or 7 autopsies.
So, they basically brought them...
Which seems kind of weird. Yeah, dude. That was not far from you, really. Dover is the middle of Delaware, and you're not quite the middle of it. So dark. But that's one thing that leads into conspiracy theories that we're not going to get into right now. Why do they only do 6 or 7? Yes, the bodies were rotten and putrid because of the jungle down there. Bugs were getting into them. The local wildlife were getting into them. There was a number of people that did not want to drink it. So they used an actual syringe to puncture them. So they saw these puncture wounds on different people, but they barely did autopsies on the amount of people that were
okay.
There.
So my thought is maybe they didn't do everybody because they did a few and they're like, okay, clearly everybody,
died of this. Makes sense. I mean, that makes sense in a sense. There was a couple of people that were in Georgetown, one of them being Sharon Amos, and she was a real, real big Jim Jones fan. She was so enthralled with Jim Jones that when the time came, she did not have the poison available, so they radioed to her. They used Morse code to spell out KNIF. So her and another guy slit the throats of her 3 children, and then he killed her, and then he killed himself.
Look, do whatever the fuck you want to yourself, but as soon as kids get involved, little babies, little kids, fuck you. I fucking hope those people are rotting in hell right now. And Jim Jones, I hope he's getting butt fucked by the devil himself.
Yes, exactly. The whole story's dark, dude. The rabbit hole goes deep. Goes much deeper than what we covered. 1,000 lives, road to Jonestown, seductive poison. If you want to help us out, audibletrial.com/brainontheweird and get those audiobooks and go down that rabbit hole if you like.
Yeah, we get a little kickback from it, help make the show better.
Damn, dude.
Better equipment, better whatever.
Yeah. It was a dark, dark story. And I'm glad that we push through and got it done now.
Yeah, I would say this is going to be a long episode, but who the fuck knows? Last time we thought we had a long episode, it ended up not being long. But if you would like to further support us, you go to our Patreon, right? Yep.
Patreon.com/BringOnTheWeird.
Better the show, and you get ad-free episodes, you get promo-free episodes. Who knows? We might just randomly put an episode up that you guys don't even know about.
Yeah, I think that's gonna happen. What else? Facebook.com/BringOnTheWeird, Instagram.com/BringOnTheWeird, Twitter, BringOnTheWeird.
If you want a t-shirt or whatever, go to myconspiracytees.com/BringOnTheWeird. We're not really doing much with the Tee Public, but apparently they have masks now. So if you want a mask to stay COVID free. Or help protect the people around you. Get you a bring on a weird mask. And when people say, hey, where'd you get that mask? Like, what is that? Tell them it's the best fucking podcast in the world.
Yeah.
Coming to you one day.
Yeah.
We can get it digitally, but
how about that?
What if we were in your city?
If you want to support that, go to Patreon.
One of these days.
We have a tier for the Bring on the Weird World Tour. That's hard to say. Bring on the Weird World Tour. Yeah. Just speaking is also hard.
The whole thing was hard to say. What else is also hard to say? That's our conclusion. Finally.
I hope not.
I don't know if we'll ever revisit it. I hope not.
I've never been so angry in my entire fucking life. I have.
Rest assured,
yeah.
The next episode is going to be completely light.
There's only so much darkness to eventually you gotta turn the light on. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. We're climbing out of the rabbit hole.
It's probably the end of cults altogether, right?
And I guess we're going to for the foreseeable future. I mean, probably we might one day go back down another cult.
We hope you guys enjoyed it. Tomorrow we gave you a little introduction about what cults are in the beginning, and then we took you down the road on a couple cults, and we hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yep. And with that, the other thing that's kind of hard to say,
we'll see you guys next time.
Stay weird, world.